Sometimes the things that this does amazes me. It just came up with a message and told me that I averaged 11 minutes of screen time this past week. Okay, I don't know why it does it. I didn't tell it to do it, but evidently it feels like it should let me know how much time I spent looking at it. Anyway, sidetrack. This morning, before we get into the message, once again, I think all of you have heard, there has been a tragedy. Somebody, evil person, with evil desires in their heart, as you know, walked into a synagogue and opened up fire. 11 people are dead. And it's so wrong. It's so wrong. And the person who did it, in his mind, he can justify why he did it. It's nothing but hate. That's not what God teaches. And there's no way that he can justify that God told him to do this, because that's not the God that we love. So this morning, I just want us to bow our heads. I want you to think for a minute of not just this tragedy, this shooting, but think of the world that we live in and the hate mongers, those whose hearts are turned toward evil. And folks, the truth is, the only one that is going to ever be able to intercede and make a difference is going to be God himself. So we pray to a heavenly Father, God of all, who loves all, and we seek his intervention. Heavenly Father, our hearts go out to those in Pennsylvania that so personally impacted by this tragic shooting. Father, we pray for the families of those who lost loved ones. All they had done was come to the synagogue, just come to sing, to praise, to hear your word, much as we have done today. But Father, an evil person with evil desires in their heart disrupted the whole service. So, Father, I pray that your light would shine on that community and on that synagogue, that they would find strength in this moment from you, that they would be able to lift up prayers and truly feel your presence. And Father, as a church, we pray that we would work together to try and disarm bitterness and hatred wherever we see it. Father, we pray that our lives would be an example that others would see, that we represent a God of love, a God of life, and the giver of life. And truly, Lord, you are the only one that can take it. And we just pray, Lord, for guidance in these situations. Be with those who are in Pennsylvania and trying to minister to the ones that were so hurt by this, to a whole city and a community. And Father, I just pray that you would intercede in this nation in such a way that it would not be hate, but it would be love that fills the streets and the homes and the churches. So we'll lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know your schedule. Some of you have noticed we're under construction in the area here. But I'm just going to put this plea out there. We're to the point on this little metal shed that's going up that if you can help, your help is desperately needed, because according to the instructions, we can go no further without more than one person to put the walls up, to put everything up. So if you have time, if you can help, please let me know. I'm going to be trying to work on it this week. But it does reach that point to where it just takes more than one person. So we're looking for help. Anyway, I had to share that. I heard a story of a little boy sitting on his front steps, and as he was sitting on the front steps, he had his face cradled in his hands, and his head was down, and he was looking really upset. About that time, his dad came home and asked me, he said, what is wrong? The little boy took his hands down and just kind of put them on his knees, and he looked at his dad, and he said, well, just between us, Dad, I'm really having trouble getting along with your wife. Heard another story about three elderly widows that lived together. One sister got up to go to bed, and halfway upstairs, she stopped and she asked, was I going up or was I coming down? One sister replied with a hint of aggravation, you were going up to bed. The second sister headed into the kitchen to make herself a sandwich. Once in the kitchen, she hollered back to her sister who was still downstairs and said, what did I come in here for? The sister responded again with a trace of irritation. You went to make yourself a sandwich. After which, she just kind of pounded her table and she said, I am so glad I'm not forgetful, as both of you are. And she knocked on the table as she did it. And then she got up and walked over to open the door and see who it was. Listen, we're going to talk about family a little bit today. And the family unit, it is probably the oldest unit of society. And I don't know if you're like me. I enjoy history. Now, I'm not one that, you know, if you sit there and say, what date did such and such happen, I can't tell you. But I enjoy history, and I enjoy learning about things and what has happened and how things have changed over the years. I don't do the dates and numbers, but that's okay. I do look for a lot of different circumstances for historical events. And I found it interesting over the years that society can change, technology can change, countries can change, and new systems of government are created and put in the place of archaic ones. I don't believe in evolution, but I also do believe that. And everyone has to admit, at the very least, we have developed. We are not the same people that existed on this planet 100 years ago. We're not the same ones that existed 1,000 years ago. We have developed. Now, we're not going to use the word evolved because some people get really upset with that whole word. But the truth is, we change. The world around us changes, and we have to admit that. And through the test of time, one thing has existed, and it's always we have some constants and things that we could predict no matter what. And one of these things is the family unit. The family is going to stand. And how amazing that despite our humanity and irritation with one another, we still have families intact. I'm amazed sometimes at how families stay together. I'm amazed at how families tolerate each other. I'm amazed at how families fight bitterly. But nobody wants anybody hurt. So today's message It really isn't anything new. But it does give us a refresher course on how to treat people in our families. Whether it is our immediate family, our extended family, or, ready for this one, our church family. We got to remember that part. We have a church family. In our text today, I begin with Ephesians 4. Paul is writing this passage to help people to get along in God's family. Can you imagine that? Going back to the time of Paul, people in God's family were bickering. People in God's family were not getting along. You know, of everything in society, everything in the world, the one thing that must exist, that needs to exist, is that the family of God has got to get along. It's not an option. It's not a negotiation. If we say we love God, we also have to love the people that God loves. And we have to learn to get along with the people that God loves. So Paul is writing, and listen as we go to this passage. And I want you to, in a bit, to consider a couple of things. One of the big ones is how to be a better family member to those that are part of your family. And how to be a good family member, a family of God here at Laurel Street Church of God. Ephesians 4 starts like this, is verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is one body and one Spirit. Folks, I would almost want to read this again, and I want you to pick up on some of the words as I do read it again. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What is that calling that you've received? It's the calling to be a child of God. It's a calling to receive the blessings of God. It's a calling to live your life in a way that honors our Heavenly Father. That's a solid calling. It's something real. We take it lightly. Oh man, I went to church on Sunday, so I'm good. It's amazing how people can come to church on Sunday and worship God and praise God, and the rest of the week they hate everybody around them. It happens. And they yell and they fuss and they point fingers and they accuse, usually the ones we love the most. That's not worthy of your calling, folks. And it grieves God. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Be completely humble. You know what? How many here are humble? Now, here's the truth. If you raised your hand to say you're humble, you're probably not. Humble people usually don't know they're humble. Be completely humble. Humble and gentle. Be patient. Now here's a big one, bearing one another in love. Who gets on your nerve? What about at home? What about the family that doesn't live with you but is extended family or neighbors and those outside? What about the church? Man, the pastor just bugs the daylights out of me. He gets on my nerves all the time, and he just doesn't seem to care. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit, one Spirit, one God, one unity that comes as we are united. Make every effort to keep that Spirit and that bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There's only one God, and He is in all of us. There's only one body and one Spirit. In the same way you were called to the one hope of your calling, there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Only one and all. So, if I struggle with somebody, if I don't like somebody, if I'm mean to somebody, if I hate somebody, and they believe in the same God that I do, who am I really yelling at? God. They believe like I believe. They serve the same God I serve. They've got different ways, and they've got different attitudes, and they do things differently than I do. So I can yell at them. I can fuss at them. I can complain about them. I can talk behind their back. I don't think so. I don't think that honors God in any way. So what are God's family values? And he gives us some family values in this text that describe how he desires us to live our lives. Live in a way that is worthy of the calling. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, walked on this earth, he lived, he was crucified, and he rose again, and he did it for one reason, and one reason only, and that was for you. That's all. He didn't die to make himself better. He didn't die to make himself the Son of God. He already had it. He didn't die to place himself on a heavenly throne. He already had it. He came, he lived, he suffered, he died for you. For all of you. One Spirit. And when you return to him and say, "Here I am, Jesus, I am sorry, I am a sinner, forgive my sins." Can you say that? I'm a sinner, and I need my sins forgiven, and I need my heart cleansed, I need my heart purified, and Jesus, I come before you, and I confess myself to you, and I ask you to come in and to live in me and be a part of my life, and just let there be a difference that the world can see. That's my calling. That's your calling. This little light of mine, remember that? Okay, let it shine. And that light that's talked about is the light that comes from within. Oh, it grieves me to see brothers and sisters in Christ walking around with their heads down. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Because we have a God that is there to carry us through it. What is worthy of your calling? As followers of Christ, we all have a calling on our life, and we are called to live in a manner that shows who we follow. Who are you following? Who have you followed this past week? Did you live this life? Were you able to live the life that God wants you to? Did you follow your calling? Did you treat others the way you want to be treated? Did you love others the way you want to be loved? And this is immediate family, extended family, church family, whoever. Or did you begrudge someone? Well, maybe I'm not going to talk to them. Or maybe I'm mad at them. Or, you know what? They said something and it hurt my feelings. I'm sorry. I'm sorry feelings get hurt. Paul refers to himself as a prisoner. I love that way he does that. He had been taken captive. But folks, he'd been taken captive by Jesus. And no longer was in control of his own life. You remember what happened to Paul? Paul was Saul. And he went around crucifying Christians. Anywhere he could find a Christian, he would either have them locked up or have them killed. And he had permission from the high priest to do this. I'm going on a hunt. And wherever I find a Christian, we're going to root them out, and they're going to be either jailed or they're going to be crucified. Because we're not going to tolerate this Jesus stuff. And then if he's going along, and one day God says, okay, enough is enough. And this light shines so bright on Saul that he drops to his knees. And God talks to him and he says, why are you persecuting my people? Listen, folks, why are you persecuting his people? Why do you look at brothers and sisters in Christ or others around you and they're the children of God and you persecute them? Why are you doing that? Because it makes you feel better? This is not a friendly message, is it? But I've promised you, I've always promised you that I'll be honest with you when it comes to the Word of God. Paul becomes a prisoner. Jesus, God slaps him and drops to his knees and he begs God. He says, oh God, I am a sinner. Oh, forgive me. And we could go into the whole story of what happened, but Paul or Saul's name was changed to Paul by God, and Paul became a great missionary. He was taken captive by Jesus and no longer in control of his own life. And we're speaking here, when he talks about that, of something that is commonly referred to. There's one word, commitment. He became committed to the cause of Christ no matter what. I remember when I was much younger, and I was serving as a missionary to the Navajo, and most of you already know that. And I was actually employed through the General Conference of the Churches of God. I was young and idealistic. And like most young idealistic ministers, sure enough, I ran into a little snag in my ministry. I'm not going to tell you what it was and what happened, but I'll tell you that I was extremely disappointed in one of the denomination leaders. Someone that I had totally respected and kind of lifted up a little bit higher than others. Isn't it interesting, folks, that often the ones who hurt us the most are the ones we call family? The ones who hurt us the most. And I'll be honest with you, I have never been hurt more than I have by people that call me a brother in Christ. It hurts. I began to think about whether I really wanted to spend the rest of my life in service to God through ministry. Now, I want you to understand the Churches of God was and is a great denomination. But even in a good church or denomination, sometimes things just don't go the way that you want them to. And I can honestly say I was considering quitting. I was ready to give it up. My feelings were hurt. So I was just going to leave. I was going to leave the mission. I was going to leave the church. I was going to leave everything. Because I'd been hurt. Somebody stepped on my toes. I actually, while I was there, started exploring other job opportunities. And as I was doing so, one was actually offered to me to work with the Federal Wildlife Service, studying various animals and wildlife in the Grand Canyon, which would have been awesome. And along the Colorado River. I have a background in that would have opened that door, and I was actually offered that position. I had a real decision that I had to make. It wasn't an easy one. Because I was hurt. I don't know if you've been there or not. I was hurt. I was ready to walk away from everything as far as ministry went and find something else to do with my life. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so fed up with someone in your family that you're ready to throw in the towel? Have you ever been so frustrated with church that you're ready to back away and not return? You know, I'd venture to say that most have probably experienced something like that at one point or another. Something's not going your way. You feel misunderstood, and perhaps you feel ignored. And you've been right on the edge of giving up. The truth is, folks, some have given up. And you all know people who have stepped out. They've abdicated their role as a parent. They've fled from their responsibilities, maybe as a spouse. Or they packed up the bags and said, I've had enough of the church. And perhaps some of you right now are having a hard time staying committed to the calling that you've received. I want to take time for just a second. I want you to think of someone. Who are you struggling with? Either at home, at work? Who are you struggling with? Who is it that rubs you the wrong way? Or maybe this past week said something that hurt you, or maybe stripped something away from you this week. Whatever it is, who? Who were you upset with this week? I hope you got a name, because you probably should. Now I want you just for a moment, and I'm not going to put a lot of time into this, but just for a moment I want you to bow your heads. And I want you to pray a real simple prayer. Father, forgive me for my part in this negative situation. And Father, you know who I'm thinking of. So would you change my heart? Would you change my heart so that I can be more like you? And I can love and forgive and move forward as you have designed and because of the calling you've given me? Change my heart. Give me your peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was really torn. And what do I do? Do I stay or do I go? Got a great job offered, by the way. The money was probably 3 times what I made as a missionary. So I went to see, I took the time and went to see a very good pastor, mentor, friend of mine. I went to see him because I didn't know of anyone more committed or more tested than this person. And when I was talking to him, sure enough, he asked me, he said, well, how's the mission doing? How are things going on the mission? And I told him that I was considering giving up because of my frustration. You know, I stayed on the mission I turned the job down, and I stayed on the mission for a few more years after that until God was the one that revealed it to us and said it was time to leave. But there was one thing that my friend said to me, and that one thing was what got me through that event. And you know, it's gotten me through a lot of tough times and rough times ever since. But he looked at me and he said this. He said, "Dennis, you're going to make it through this." You know how I know? It's because you have staying power. I think it was another way of saying you're stubborn. Maybe. He said, "You have the ability to stick it out no matter what. Because you know that when God leads you through the storm, the other side is always worth it." And you know what? He was so right. And the advice that he gave me was so right. He knew me. And you know what? I do have staying power, and I've always had staying power even before I knew I had staying power. And I'm stubborn. Satan's not going to defeat me. And I came out the other side, and when I came out the side, it was worth it, because here's what I found when I came out the other side. God eventually he took and he planted my feet right here. He sent me to Freeport, to Laurel Street Community Church, to some of the most wonderful people I've ever had the honor of serving. And that's a blessing. And when I came out the other side, it was worth it all. What's on the other side of your storm, people? What is on the other side of your marital fight? What's on the other side of your conflict with your children or your parents? What's on the other side of your current tragedy in your family or in your life? What's on the other side of your struggles with others at church? You tell me, what's on the other side? There's only one way you're going to find out. That's to stay at it and to let God lead and to have that tenacity to stick to it no matter what, because I will not surrender to Satan. Really, who wanted me to leave the mission? Satan. We had a great ministry going there, and it was wonderful, the things that were happening. And so Satan decided he was going to throw a wrench into it and mess things up, but didn't give him the victory. So folks, I say to you, where you're at and what you're going through, and whatever you're feeling, what's on the other side? To those that let God work in their lives, the other side's great. If we let God be the one that leads us, he's not going to lead us into harm, but he's going to lead us into wellness. You know, the truth is, my friend said what he did, and I would never have thought that I had this quote-unquote staying power. And there's many of you here today who do not believe that you have that capacity. And because you don't think that you have the ability to stay strong, maybe your marriage is coming apart, or your family is distant, or your church attendance is slipping. But the truth is, there's a staying power in all of us. We just have to decide what is the most important thing to us. There's a question that I've been asked many times, and a question that I struggle with, and I don't know that I have the answer, but it says, how do we get the people to be committed? And I'm not talking to some kind of an asylum. How do we get people to be committed to the calling they've received from God, to be committed to the church that they have come to, that God has placed them here, to be committed to His work, to be committed to His family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that no matter what, you're my brother and my sister, and I'm going to be here with you, and we're going to go through everything together, the highs, the lows, whatever it is. How do we get people to be committed? And it's a question that I've heard, and it's a question that I've asked myself. There's so much to do in any family, and this is especially true in the church family. And folks, I am so proud of you. You work hard. And I see you work hard, and I see special things happen in church, and you're there. We have a busy season coming up with Thanksgiving and then coming into Christmas and the live nativity. And as all of you know, the live nativity takes everything we can pour into it. And it takes people coming together saying, this is important ministry. You know, I've already got people asking me about the nativity. And they look forward to seeing it. And even before it happens, they're already asking and sharing stories. And the only way that that comes together is as people of Christ, those called according to His purpose, come together for two nights and make a scene that reminds people of what Christmas is all about. You know, the Farm and Fleet, they had their toys thing going on, started last week. Let's open up Toyland, because this is what Christmas is about. Menards has all of these great big things to put on your front lawn for Christmas. And I haven't seen a thing yet about the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's work together. Let's come together and recognize the strength of different ones in different areas. Talisa and Donna kind of lead the way on the nativity, and I don't want to stay on that too much. But you know what? I don't question them. One, they wouldn't listen anyway. It's their show. They know what to do. They've got it. After 20 years, they figured it out. That's part of the commitment. Instead of working together, we often, in order to avoid conflict, we fail to work at all. We pack it up and we check out. The truth is, there is sometimes conflict in family. I know there's been conflict in my family and growing up. And I love my parents, and as I share different things about my parents, I want you to understand they were fantastic. And I love them. And there's things happened in their life where the whole family dynamics changed, and I'm not going to go into that. But one of the things that I do remember is that they would have vicious fights. Terrible. And sometimes those fights got physical. And as a child, I remember that. And I can't help it. It's there. It changed, and I had the most loving parents ever. And they, once they found Christ, life got real. But all the fights. And then as I was growing up, I didn't help a whole lot because I created a lot of conflicts for my parents. I just did. I couldn't help it. And there was an unhealthy amount of tension in my family. I was one of those people who would act up sometimes just to get attention. I'd do it in school. I'd do it at home. I'd do it wherever I was at. Just something. And you know what? Negative attention was still attention. So what if I get a spanking? I was so used to getting spankings. My dad would come home from work, and I'd just automatically line up for my daily whooping. That was attention. By the way, tension and anger and frustration exists in any church, family, anywhere in the world. And this is a tool of Satan, and Satan's used it to divide the family. And there's times of conflict in the body, but through it all, it's important to remember that what holds us together is mightier than what pulls us apart. Or should I say, he who holds us together is mightier than the one that pulls us apart. It's interesting because as I was writing that and thinking about that, I was remembering our pork roast. And Keith pulled the meat out of the big cooker out there, and he grabs this big old leg or quarter or whatever and flops it on the table, and he put these things on his hands that looked like it ought to come out of Freddy Krueger or something like that. And he put these sharp blades that come out, and he's got his arms up like this, and this roast is there, and he just starts digging into it like this and just shredding it. This thing just shredded it. That was true pulled pork, and it just did it and just did it. I thought it was pretty cool. And I don't know why I shared that now. I'm looking at my notes and it doesn't say. Why did I share that?
Where's your sandwich? Lunch.
God is the one that holds us together. And you know what? No matter how strong these things are that would pull us apart, they can't. Not if we trust God. And so let's learn to get along here, because someday, folks, we're going to live in mansions right next door to each other. And God has a great sense of humor. I know he's got a great sense of humor because he made me. But what's going to happen, because God's got such a great sense of humor, that one that you have problems with, when you get to heaven, they're going to be your neighbor for eternity. Uh-huh. We better learn to get along here, because we're going to have to there. We may need to be reminded about whose calling it is to which we were called and that we belong to. It's his family, and all of us belong to it. Commitment, my friends, is more caught than taught. It builds slowly, and unfortunately, it can be destroyed very quickly. So let me say this, and let me encourage you to hear this and to burn it into your minds. What we enjoy today at Laurel Street is the unity and the oneness of God. And when you've seen it, it's beautiful and it's great and it's awesome. And when you've seen it and you understand the unity of the Spirit and how the unity of the Spirit can bring things together and cause things to happen, when you go somewhere that it doesn't exist, you certainly see it there too. It's gone. You don't see it. We have a unity here. And we need to continue to be one unit, one body called by God. We need to live in a way that is worthy of the calling that we've received. There's two steps to this unity. First is that we accept one another in love with all humility, it says, with all gentleness, along with patience. We maintain the unity of the Spirit, one Spirit that binds us together. Folks, do your best. This isn't easy. Because people collide, and I've got my field of expertise, and I'm the one that knows how to do this, so listen to me. And well, wait a minute, now this is, I've had a little experience there, but I've had a lot of experience, and this is my area of expertise, so listen to me, and I'm gonna ram this down and this down and this down. And no, let's just work together, recognizing the wonderful talents and gifts and abilities that God has given to each one. The Bible says that God has placed in his church each one so that the work of the kingdom might be fulfilled through the ministry of the church. Is that cool? I can get excited with that. That's what we need. Let's work together. Let's accept one another in love and accept one another with humility and gentleness. You know what? I don't mind backing away. If somebody wants to stand up and preach, come on down. It's all right. My feelings won't be hurt. That's what God calls me to do. But if somebody else wants to do it, you know what? We'll share. Volunteers? Accept one another in love. Maintain the unity of the Spirit. One Spirit that binds us together. You know, do your best, because it's not easy. We by nature really are incompatible, and we're competitive. And it's hard for us. Now, I'm about to read for you one of my favorite verses. Probably my favorite verse. Not the favorite, but one of my favorites. And I want you to hear the words of this, because this is important to your life. It's important to your life as it relates to your family, as it relates to your extended family, as it whoever you're involved with, as it relates to your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't remember chapter and verse, it's okay, but I want you to hear this, and I want you to remember this. It's Romans 12, 16 through 18, and it starts like this. Live, God's instructions. This is not the book according to Dennis. This is God's instruction written down, given to us. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, God's talking to you this morning, so please listen. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, in other words, what you can do, if it is possible, live at peace with all people. That doesn't mean take and say, well, I'm not going to live at peace with them till they apologize. I'm not going to put things together with them because it was their fault the whole thing started. They called me a name. They were short-tempered. They were whatever. No, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. Folks, if you can adopt that as a lifestyle, you have no idea how much better life will be. I get asked frequently, actually, why are you always smiling? And I try to smile a lot. One is I had a great teacher in grade school, and I think I told you that story. The teacher said, you know, when you smile, people will smile back. And so here's little Dennis in grade school, and I had to test everything. And so I started going up to people, total strangers, and smiling at them just to see if they'd smile back. Now, my approach wasn't the best, because here's little Dennis. By the way, once upon a time, I was very skinny. I was nothing but bones and skin as a little child. But here I am, my arms out, and I was determined, and I'd go up to an adult. It didn't matter who it was. It was whoever I just felt like. And I'd go up to him like this. And I just stand there. Never had anybody not smile back. Some of them actually laughed. They thought, that poor child. And as much as it depends on you, if it is possible, live at peace with all people. Here's seven ingredients, and I'm going to go fast through them, that God has given us to have as a bond of peace. You might call these the ingredients of God's super glue. It's what holds us together. First of all, one body. One body. That is a body of believers, okay? That is a body that is joined together by God Himself. One body of believers, one that have received Him. That's His church. One Spirit. And the Spirit of God hovered over the earth as God created. One Spirit. And that Spirit is where, folks, He lives in us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll return, but I am sending another, and He shall dwell inside you. You know what? God lives in you. God lives in you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter how far you try to hide. I read in a book about a guy that tried to hide in the bottom of a boat. He ended up getting tossed overboard. You can't hide from God. You can't hide your thoughts. You can't hide your deeds. And by the way, the Bible says, inasmuch as we sin in our heart, we sin against God. You got that? One Spirit, and that Spirit lives in us. One hope of your calling. That hope is eternal life through Jesus Christ. This is our super glue. This is what holds us together. One Lord, the Heavenly Father, who sees us and knows us and looks upon us. And someday He's going to hear from Jesus Christ, "This is one of mine. Let him in." And we have a wonderful kingdom to go to. One faith, and that faith is in a living God. Our God is not dead. Jesus did not stay in the grave. Death could not defeat Him. Satan couldn't win. Jesus came out of the grave and He ascended into heaven, where He sits at the right hand of the Father. And our faith is that Jesus died for us, and because He died for us, we have eternal life. And He died for all who receive Him and all who believe Him. One baptism, and that baptism is the baptism of Christ. That is when we lay down and we say, "I am dead to the sin of this world. I want nothing to do with it. And just as Christ was raised from the grave, I am raised with Him. I am raised with Him, and I am a new creature, a new creation." One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. And it's for our own good, and it's for our own power. A woman by the name of Barbara Brokoff had a book. It was called The Grapes of Wrath or Grace. And she writes about a man who tells of being on a bus tour in Rome, which was led by a guide who spoke English. Their first stop was a basilica in Piazza, which was surrounded by several lanes of relentless Roman traffic. And after they were all safely dropped off, the group climbed the steps for a quick tour of the church. Then they spread out to board the bus, which was parked across the street from the church. And the frantic guide shouted for the group, "Stay together, stay together. No, 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 don't try to cross by yourself. Stay together, come together, stay together." And he hollered out to them, "You cross one by one, they hit you one by one. But if you cross together, they think you will hurt their car." You know, there's always much to be said for unity, particularly unity of the Spirit. The calling to which you've been called. What will never change is the content of this superglue of the kingdom of God. The mission of reaching out to the lost will never change, and neither will our commitment to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But what must change is our methods. And if we're going to have an opportunity to reach our friends and our neighbors with the good news of Jesus Christ, we have to realize some things change. The way we do it. There's a kingdom of God out here, and that kingdom is calling for people to work. I want to take a few minutes and just tell you just a little bit of how we're responding to God's call here at Laurel Street. You see, the calling to reach people for Christ, to build God's kingdom, that's a big part of what we're doing. We're wanting to be in the community. We're wanting to be active. We're working with the school. We computer lab going, kids coming in after school and doing the after school program. The different things that we do during the course of the year where we're one-on-one with people. Laurel Street is to be the place that is helping people find their way home. That's our job. helping people find their way home. We're building a house for God's people, and that's where we're sitting today. There's plenty of room, and it's a place where God's people can come together, and we can be encouraged and uplifted and strengthened to be where God wants us to be. And I hope that you become involved as followers of Jesus, and that you'll care about those around you. That you'll be involved in some area of service here in the church where you can offer your gifts and your talents and your abilities, helping people find their way home, because that's what we're about. Kind of a final story, but it's one that's important. It has to do with the Special Olympics that were held in Seattle, Washington. There were 9 runners, all physically or mentally challenged. They lined up at the starting line for the 100-yard dash. At the sound of the starting gun, they all started out not exactly in a dash, but with eagerness and joy to run the race to finish and win, they were running. And all started out good, except there was one boy, and he stumbled. And he turned over a couple of times, and he began to cry. The other 8 runners heard the boy cry, and they slowly turned around and they paused, and then they all went back, every one of them. One girl with Down syndrome bent down and kissed the boy and said, "That'll make it better." Then all 9 of them linked arms and walked together to the finish line. Why did they finish like this? Because they all had the same heart. And they knew that the goal was to win, but that the greater goal was to cross the finish line, and it was better to do it together than leave one behind, especially if he was hurt and crying and alone. We need to do it together, folks. Will you help? I challenge you, wherever you're at in the church, to move to that next level. Pastor, you're asking us to do more? Yeah. But it's not me, it's God. God just gives me the message and I share it. That's all it is. And you know if you can do more. And you know what you can do. That's what we're all about. As families, we need to grasp our commitment level and be reminded of the unity that God has placed together, the unity of Laurel Street. Would you bow your heads? I know that sometimes things are frustrating, and I know that sometimes things are hard. I know sometimes that family's hard to get along with. But above all, beyond that, I know that there is a great love that has been poured into us from a Heavenly Father. You know, we're going to pray. And even as I pray, I know there's some here that this message just bounced right off your shoulders. There's some here that didn't hear a thing that was said because you allowed the enemy to take your mind elsewhere. Or you allowed somebody to draw your attention away from the message. And Satan's clapping his hands right now. Satan's saying, "I won. I won." because you were too busy. You were too busy with other things to take a little bit of time and listen. Let's find places we can hide. Let's find places we can run to where we don't have to hear what God says. Only thing I say to those who close their mind and shut everything out this morning is that's between you and God. I do want you to know, in all honesty, you will answer to God, because you have grieved the Holy Spirit this morning. Others, we've sat here this morning and we've heard a message and hopefully have come to understand that God is calling us to work together. He's calling us to be a body of unity. He's calling us to not make excuses for why we can't do this or why we can't do that, but to make reasons why we can. He's calling us to have a heart of love. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know the hearts of everyone in this building today. You know the ones that just totally blocked out the message, your word. Probably could not even quote a passage of scripture that was shared. Father, I love them as you love them. Deal with their hearts, Lord. Touch their hearts. Help them to realize how serious these things are. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this congregation and what a wonderful, wonderful body of believers we have. And perhaps today there are some here that are needing to say to you, change my heart, Lord. Change my heart, that I can be totally devoted to you. Change my heart, Lord, so that I can understand people. Change my heart, Lord, so that I can be committed to building your kingdom through the ministry of Laurel Street. Father, help me to not give up. Help me to not turn away or turn back, but to seek more and more. Because, Father, we know that we can't outdo you, we can't outgive you, we can't outlove you, but that you pour these things into us to be a part of building your kingdom. And, Father, we know that it grieves you when we let the family be divided. Whether it's at home, extended family, church family, whatever it is, Father, let's not give Satan victory. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of darkness at work in this world. Father, let the battle be won by your people through the power that you give. And we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.